Well, it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic.
You good?
Yeah, man. I'm doing really, really well. It's been an interesting few days. My wife, unfortunately, has been battling a little illness.
Yeah.
And I think she may be taking a little turn for the worse.
Now, last week we talked about the coronavirus, and this week your wife is sick. So
here's the crazy thing. She actually was on a cruise ship.
Oh my gosh.
About 2 weeks ago.
No.
Yeah. I don't believe she has coronavirus. I think she probably has the flu.
That's probably not.
So, you know how it is.
But if you're dealing with fear during this moment, you can listen to last week's show.
It's a good word.
And we
were talking off the air and just saying, man, we so respect, you know, any of our listeners that happen to be a single parent, of course, for that matter, any folks that are out there that are parenting alone, because man, just the idea, like trying to get the kids out the door today to school and all the things they've got to be doing without Carrie is difficult. It's hard.
It's hard, and I think that's why, like, if you look back at shows like the Waltons and things, like, all those kids just walked to school. Like it was up to the children and the oldest child to make sure the other children got to where they needed to go.
Yeah.
And it's such an interesting, and now you fast forward to 2020 and it's like, my kids couldn't walk to their school.
I don't think they need to be walking across Pellissippi Parkway.
No, it's a lot different now.
I'm super sorry. It sounds like you've had a bit of a loss in the
world. We're really starting on Debbie Downer stuff.
Yeah, the coronavirus and now this.
Yeah, so September is a dog that came to our lives right before Aaron and I got married.
September.
In 2006.
Talk to me about the name. Why?
Yeah, so we got September from, we kind of rescued her and, she needed a leg amputation it was broke and they couldn't fix it. And so we had the leg amputated and then she came into our home and we were going to get married in September. So we named her September.
Oh, nice.
And she's a great Pyrenees. She was an amazing dog. And we've had her for almost 14 years. Her 14th birthday would have been in April.
Okay.
And she passed yesterday. And that was, you know, it's tough. You know, growing up, we, living on a farm, we had all kinds of animals.
Yeah.
And we dealt with, you know, burying them somewhere on the property. But as a kid, I kind of watched my dad do that and watched that whole process. But you don't really appreciate that till you're a dad and you're a husband. And
right.
Like I came home yesterday and dug a hole in our yard. And so those are the things that's part of life. And so having the conversation with the kids, because September's been a part of our family their entire life.
Right.
And what that looks like. And that brings up other questions about death that, you know, you need to be prepared to answer. If you would say a prayer for the Wood family and especially my wife. That was a tough one for her. My wife, for those that don't know, she's a vet tech. So she works with animals every single day. And this was a tough one for sure.
Yeah. So I don't want to make light of loss.
Sure.
So let me enter into this cautiously.
Yeah.
But are all of your pets named after a certain month?
They are not. No, okay. We have. So now we are left with Hamlet, which is the pig.
Yes. I did know about
which
Sweet
Hamlet. I have somebody at church the other day came up and was like, hey, I need to ask you about this pig. I was like, yeah, we have one. And so Hamlet the pig. And then, who has his own Instagram now, by the way, if y'all, it's called, Hanging with Hamlet.
Noted. All
yeah,
right.
So look that up.
And then
we have, Maisie, which is Granna, my mother-in-law
lives
with us.
May, the month of May.
It is close.
But
Maisie
not.
Is a golden retriever. And then we have Toothless,
which is a dragon.
Looks just like the dragon. And then we have Maui, which is a cat, and, Martina. Which is another cat.
Man.
Yeah. So
that
might have
been a bit of an indictment when you just kept on listing all the animals.
It's a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's a lot
wow.
of them.
So your kids were they out of school on Monday?
They were out of school on Monday for President's Day. Yeah.
Yeah. So today we are actually going to talk about presidents.
Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to debate. You're going to become a presidential candidate. I'm kidding. We're not going to
do
that. That would be terrible.
That'd be absolutely horrible.
I remember when I was in high school, I hadn't quite kind of paved my way into politics.
Yeah.
And we were doing a debate. Like somebody was going to be, let's see. I guess it was somebody was going to be Al Gore, somebody was going to be George W. And because of the type of student I was, I went to the teacher and was like, I'm kind of upset that no one is representing Ralph Nader.
Wow.
Because Ralph Nader was running. And now as an adult, I'm like, well, no wonder nobody was representing Ralph Nader. But I really pushed hard them to let me.
He was your generation's Ross Perot or whatever.
And so it was like, I really pushed hard for them to let me be the Ralph Nader in the debate. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that.
Grief. So this year is an election year, which is crazy.
Exactly.
If you've not been following the news, or for that matter, if you've just been living in a cave, let us inform you that indeed is an election year, 2020. And today we're going to talk, in light of President's Day, we're going to have a little bit of fun in this first segment and talk about presidents that we would have liked to have met, or maybe even list some of our favorite presidents. But we're really going to spend the majority of our time today talking about how do we posture ourselves well in this new political cycle. And, you know, man, I have dear brothers and sisters that are, you know, brothers and sisters in the faith that are already worried about, some of the ramifications that come along with another political cycle. Friends that pastor, multi-ethnic churches, you know, friends that, are connected to, folks from both sides of, the aisle and are just worried, you know, and ultimately just as you and I would be candidly at times worried about, the division that comes in our nation during a political cycle. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also probably more notably going to talk about how do we look at the presidency? You know, are we to put all of our hope in the president?
Right.
How are we supposed to, reflect upon the responsibilities that we have to offer some degree of respect towards the role of the presidency, even at times if we may or may not agree with them. So we're going to talk about those things a little bit later in the show. But today, I know you said you saw a question that came out a few days ago. What was the question?
Yeah, so there was a question on Twitter from a guy. He's actually a pastor over in Mount Juliet. And he posted, he said, let's see. If you could pick four presidents to hang out with for an evening to chat, who would they be?
Now, are we talking about they're all together?
No.
Okay, individually. So
individually.
Four meals or four dinners.
Yeah, four
dinners
and, and any president. So you can go all the way back to Washington or Trump today.
Man,
and
this
so,
is tough.
So if you had to pick four, which would be the ones you would pick? And
So to be clear, this isn't necessarily designating what historians might consider to be, you know, the best.
No, presidents. Not at all.
In fact, I was actually looking fairly recently at a list of what historically, of course, these are varying surveys and people that put them out, and of course, their different political positions. But any guess what is commonly recognized as the most successful president?
I would say probably either Lincoln or Kennedy.
Okay, so Lincoln was indeed in the top spot.
FDR
then,
is typically
then you had
toward
Washington.
The top. Well, yeah, that's
then
good.
You had FDR. Yeah. You had Theodore Roosevelt, Thomas Jefferson, Truman, Eisenhower, Bill Clinton, and even Andrew Jackson, which I thought was really interesting.
Come on, Tennessee.
Yeah, and then Woodrow Wilson making the top 10. Again, this is. That specific one was the American Political Science Association in a poll that was administered a few years ago.
Yeah, it's always interesting, and I would encourage you to look into Woodrow Wilson a little bit more. And I don't know if he should be on that list, but that's a story for another day. But so this doesn't for me. I wasn't when I put my list together
So you prepared?
I answered the question on Twitter.
Okay.
So I was.
Because traditionally, when we do
we
polls,
don't prepare anything,
or we do some type of survey on the radio,
just
we don't
as long
prepare.
As train doesn't make your list, we're good. And so as we look at this, I wasn't even looking at party affiliation. I was just saying, okay, out of all the presidents, if I had to pick four, who would just kind of some fun questions to ask. And so here's my list, Jason. I would go John Adams.
Okay, and, so give us some rationale.
And the reason I would go with John Adams is because
no one else was going to choose John Adams.
Right, and not the the general manager of Joy 620, John right, Adams, right. either.
Nor, yes. Yeah.
We'll yeah. And so, so John Adams, because, one of the founding fathers, which is amazing and kind of was part of the core group that got this country started and put in the fight. And also because there was a mini series on HBO called John Adams that was amazing. And
really?
So that had me hooked.
I need to check that out.
And it's very good. And so that had me hooked. And so John Adams would be one. James K. Polk, which I bet a lot of people didn't think.
Okay.
But Tennessee connection. He's from right. Columbia, Tennessee.
Right.
So I think it would be cool. Also, one of my political science professors in college kind of wrote the, James K. Polk was his dude.
Remind me real quick, who are our three? We've got Jackson, Johnson, and Polk. Are those
yes.
all of our Tennessee mm-hmm.
yep.
relationships?
I believe
there?
So, yeah. Okay. And so I would say James K. Polk, an interesting fact about James K. Polk is he had chronic diarrhea. I don't know if you knew that.
Wow.
But,
wow, we just lost
rough
listeners.
rough life in the days, Sir J. You know,
wow.
And, you know, back in that time, it's one thing to have that in 2020. It's another thing
yeah.
to have it when you're, you know,
yeah.
having a rough go at it.
Man.
So, then I would say,
what do you mean when you say have, I'm sorry. Would, yeah, yeah, we
right.
won't go any further.
Right. Yeah. We've
we'll
actually
there.
Then I would say, Theodore Roosevelt, because his life was bonkers and
yeah.
he just, I was reading a book about him and, you know, he comes from money. The Roosevelts were rich, but he kind of went a different path and was like, hey, I like Westerns. I'm going to go out West
yeah.
and kind of be
yeah.
a cowboy for a little while and, hunting and a lot of the public land that we have today, a lot of the public parks are because of Theodore Roosevelt. Some could argue that was an overreach of the government. But,
right.
But either way, I think having a conversation with him would be quite amazing. And then my fourth one would be Ronald Reagan, just because I love him.
simply because I have a love for him.
And so I think because too, Ronald Reagan, he has his acting career. So you have his acting career, he was the governor. He also was really close with, I have an affinity for the Rat Pack, and so Dean
yep.
Martin and Sammy
yep.
Davis Jr., he was close to all of them. Also, he was shot. He was shot in office, and so I just think there could be so many things to talk about, with him. That would be fun. So that's where I would. I could obviously keep adding to the list.
I feel a little underprepared since apparently you've prepared.
Yeah, I could keep adding
today.
To that list, but.
Wow.
But yeah, that's probably my top.
All right.
Top
so,
four.
So dare I enter into, to my best effort here? I'm going to start with Rutherford B. Hayes because
okay.
he is a relative of mine.
Okay. Of course he is.
Okay. That's not true at
yeah,
all.
But he's got the same last
That
name.
Is absolutely not
he could
true.
Could be.
And he would not be on my list.
Could be.
Yeah. I don't think
Have
he
you done the, what's that where you send your DNA in and see who
I've
your family
not.
Tree is?
I've not.
Maybe
but
he
there's
is.
Always been speculation that, or I've always been told that I was somehow connected to Lewis of Lewis and Clark.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Willie Mays Hayes from Major League Baseball?
Yes, absolutely.
The movie.
Yes.
Wesley Snipes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We're actually
cool.
brothers.
Cool. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. But, no, so I would say, I mean, I kind of would have to think that I would probably would go with Lincoln.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just
that was
the
tough.
Guy
Lincoln,
that,
yeah, for sure.
That was so influential and so, like, magnanimous. I mean, just this huge,
yeah.
like, I mean, huge man in himself,
yep.
you know, but then also.
A vampire slayer.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly.
He's
that's
also
another
that.
Piece of it. you know, but I think I probably would go with Lincoln. I think I might go with a Tennessee connection.
Come on.
I probably would go Jackson.
Okay, yeah, that would be
a
good night.
Rather, yeah. Then I had thought about Reagan myself. I'm going to go George W.
Yeah, that would
because
be
I would love to hear the behind the scenes of 9/11.
Yeah.
I would love to hear, like, man, like, tell us, like, your perspective and, like, how was it to lead
right.
through?
We'll
all
try to
of
get him on the
stuff.
Show.
Yeah, we'll see if we can reach out. And then
one more. Who would it be?
Who is the president from the West Wing?
Yeah.
He's not a real president.
But it was a good. It's a good
go
show.
No, I'd probably go. I'd go Washington. Let's go with Washington.
Yeah,
I know that
the first
sounds
one.
Simple, but yeah, it's like.
Well, also Washington set the precedent.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, look. Two terms, that's
a
it.
A president
set.
Who set the precedent.
Yeah.
We'll
just
be back.
Ginger hop, do a little white dove. Bombing a feeling, that's the power of
was that? Is that Huey Lewis?
I believe so.
Huey Lewis in the news.
Right.
Come on. That's such a while good. That was such a good cassette.
While we're thinking, that was a great cassette. I would agree with that. While we're thinking about artists that are kind of past their heyday, one that I thought for sure was beyond their heyday and that I would never hear again, Chaka Khan. And
she
the national anthem.
The longest national anthem ever in the history of the world.
The national anthem at the All-Star Game.
Yeah.
And it was a spectacle.
It was long.
It was not just long. It was, wow.
Yeah, it was something. I
didn't really know if I was just that musically illiterate to think I'm not recognizing.
Yeah, it was.
Like talent here, or if just the untrained ear was actually identifying what I thought it was, which was just a bunch of really pitchy, unmatching notes.
Yeah, man.
But she's from Chicago.
Yeah,
obviously
I get
she's
it.
Had a great career. So I get it. I understand why they did it.
But I think here's my opinion on the national anthem at sports. I think after Whitney Houston did it years ago, just play that.
Yeah.
Just put it up on this video screen and play that.
Yeah.
Every time. Or just there, you know, find a soldier that can sing. That always is a nice move too. But Whitney Houston's version of the national anthem is top.
Two of my boys played at Seymour High School on Monday night. That we were playing the middle school team, but we were at Seymour High School, and they were great hosts to us, and we appreciate them having us out. And they beat our brains in.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
You need to learn how to lose.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. A lot of character building on Monday night.
Right.
However, they played a national anthem that was a very. It was a country artist, and it was solid. It was solid. It didn't feel. It certainly wasn't a Whitney Houston. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Dude or a female?
It was a dude. Yeah, but it was solid. Really, really solid.
Okay.
I'm kind of the traditionalist. I'm like, yeah, let's sing it as it is. We don't need to try to show off our voice.
We don't need a lot of runs.
This is not to try to bring attention to myself.
The goal is
to bring attention to our nation that we're trying to
I'm
show
I'm even
some
good with just the electric guitar.
Really?
Version. No singing, just electric guitar or drums.
Not like Jimi Hendrix, though.
Yeah, but I think there's so many opportunities. I think
was spectacular. I thought it was spectacular, but it's certainly not traditional. So
I think a lot of folks don't realize how difficult it is to sing that song.
Yes.
And you have no music to help you.
No.
And so it's not something you can just go in and wing. Like, you need to – and the All-Star Game, which was a lot of fun to watch, I will say – But the national anthem.
Have I ever shared my fun facts about me singing the national anthem?
No.
Yeah, one of those things. You know, sometimes you have like the game where everyone talks about, you know, what two truths and a lie or whatever it may be, and where you try to figure out what is the truth. Well, the thing that I always get people, you know, kind of tripped up on, is that I've actually sung the national anthem at 4 different Major League Baseball parks.
Were you in a choir?
I was in a choir.
Okay.
Yes, and a kid's choir. I was not a great vocalist. I was the high-energy guy that stood in the front. Not just for the national anthem, but for the other songs we would do. And so, some great parks and things of that sort.
Well,
anyways,
good.
we've missed the mark so far.
But that, you know, but I will agree that national anthem All-Star Game was not great.
Yeah. So today we're talking about presidents.
Yes.
We can make that hard transition from the national anthem.
Yeah, makes sense. Patriotic.
Again, it is a presidential election cycle.
Yep.
Give our listeners who may not be in tune with this process, where are we in the cycle right now?
Yeah, so we're right in the middle of it. I mean, I believe there's a debate tonight, a Democratic debate going on, and the interesting thing, if you're paying attention to what's going on, we've had a few people drop out of the Democratic field, but we've had one kind of step up, Michael Bloomberg, who for a long time has kind of been independent, but he's taken his talents to the Democratic Party, I guess. And so he is
similar to how President Trump brought his talents to the Republican Party.
Whatever you can,
despite the fact that he had not been a Republican.
Yeah, you know,
in the past.
It can be interesting because if Bloomberg was to pull this out, we would have two billionaires running against each other for the president of the United States.
Yeah.
With President Trump and with Michael Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg, I was just looking this morning worth about $62 billion.
Is that how much you're worth, or just
I think judging by my vehicle,
yeah,
people probably assume that.
Sure, but it's not.
But it's not.
Okay, got it. Anyways, continue. Yeah.
And so right now we're kind of in the debate. We're right in the thick of it with Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Mayor Pete from South Bend.
You only said Mayor Pete because you're uncomfortable saying Buttigieg.
I'm very uncomfortable.
It's hard. Saying it's hard to say Buttigieg.
I'm uncomfortable. Well, that's another thing. And then we have Bloomberg and Andrew Yang dropped out last week.
Which he was a likable guy.
He's likable.
He was never going to be electable, at least in this cycle.
Likable dude. And so it's interesting to kind of watch all of this play out. Anytime you have an incumbent, which we have at the moment, they're just very difficult to beat. If the economy is strong, that's really what a lot of people care about is what does my bank account look like? Right. What does my job situation look like? Are we safe?
And in terms of primaries and things of that sort.
Yeah. So primaries will ultimately have that, probably September, somewhere around there. And then November is the general election. And then we'll know. And so, it's going to be interesting to see the interesting thing about how the Democratic Party does their primaries, which we still don't really know who won Iowa. That's a whole other thing. And then, but they have most of their states are not winner. I'm trying to make sure I get this right. I don't know if they're winner take all in terms of delegates. And so then they have super delegates.
It's complicated.
It's complicated. And a lot of people that were Bernie supporters in the last cycle were saying it was kind of stolen from him.
Right.
And so his folks are really out.
And even President Trump is
pushing it.
That's the same thing's about to happen to you, Bernie.
That's a strategy. President Trump believes Bernie's the one that he can definitely beat. And so he wants to run against him. So we'll see. But it's, elections are always, if you're a political nerd like me, like it's just fun to watch and talk about and pay attention to. And so it's going to be interesting to see who's going to have be the president for the next 4 years.
So what would you say to our listeners today? Because I don't think we want to just speak exclusively about, the cycle itself.
Sure.
I think we really do want to, try to offer some general counsel as people are considering their vote for the presidency. And I would just, really encourage people to participate in the process.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a political nerd like Andrew describes himself. You don't have to be the one that wants to read the headlines every day.
I would encourage you not.
Yeah, exactly. But my encouragement would be to have a healthy degree of involvement.
Yeah.
Where you are informed, to a point where you can make a decision that you feel comfortable with, a decision that you, at least have some conviction about. And ultimately, it's really, really, in my opinion, wrong for us to sit and to bicker about or to complain about a president if we didn't choose to voice our, right to vote, and doing that. And so for those that are looking at the upcoming election cycle and they're looking at, potentially a presidency that they have not made a decision on, the last thing we're doing today is telling them to vote for a certain person.
No.
But what would you begin to tell them to do as they are starting this process?
I would really look at and say, okay, what are my priorities?
Yeah.
Like is my
issues you
yeah,
mean.
What are my issues? What are the issues that kind of drive me? Is it safety? Is it the environment? Is it abortion?
Is it economy?
Right. Is it marriage? Is it justice reform? Is it the courts? Is it the Supreme Courts? The federal court? Like all of these things are. Most of these candidates have a clear. Most of them have a clear like this is where I stand. It's not very black and white.
They have a platform.
Yeah.
In fact, they will actually release per se a platform.
Sure.
As they're campaigning and things of that sort, and even. When it comes to the national convention, the Democratic convention and the Republican convention, there will be a per se platform that they're introducing that these are our main issues. These are the things that we are going to really fight for.
Yeah.
These are going to be the objectives that we're putting in front of us for the next 4 years.
And it's important for us to know kind of what are our, like, for instance, I'm a, are you a one issue voter? For me, abortion is the issue that kind of, shapes a lot of things for me. So it tells me a lot about a candidate when they let me know where they stand on the issue of abortion. For you, that may not be the case. It may be the environment. And so, right. Okay, what does that look like? It also, we need to look at the record. Most of these folks have been in office for something, most of them. And so what does that record look like? How have they voted? How have they stewarded their time and their treasure even? What are they doing with their funds? Have they been active in the process? A lot of times what we see is that over a 30-year period for some of these folks, they've been very consistent. And so, or maybe they've been inconsistent. Look through that and see what that looks like and why that should matter to you. We'll talk more. Music today,
man,
another level. That's another great cassette.
I'm trying to remember who this was. Dave, can you help us out?
Who's the
George? Thank you.
I could have spent 5 days trying to come up with that in my mind, and I would have not come up with it.
I might have been able to get there. That's a great song. Well done, Dave.
That is good. That's good. We've had Huey Lewis.
Good opportunity for us to thank our producer, Dave. Man, does a great job for us.
Man, I would just encourage you, get your Walkman out, find those cassettes, and just go do some jazzercise. That's what that's about. That's good stuff. That is good stuff. You know, did you have a Walkman?
Wow.
Did you have a Walkman?
Wow, I did have a Walkman.
Yeah, I did too.
Speaking of quick throwback things, I was at the barber shop, which not for me. I was at the barber shop for my three boys.
Yeah.
Yesterday, and our barber Jason, who does a great job, has always cut the boys' hair for years now. We were talking, and somehow my oldest son Hayden was in the chair, and we got talking. And somehow we got on the discussion about when we used to keep pictures in our wallet.
Yeah.
Like, remember, like, when you would talk to someone and you'd be like, and not so much us,
right.
But, you know, like our parents would be like, you know, how's little Andrew doing? Well, let me show you.
Yeah.
And they'd pull it. Yep. And it would sometimes be like, it would almost like flip out.
Yeah.
Type that kind
when
of
you
like,
would,
you know.
They were like, hey, do you want this in wallet size?
Yes.
Like, first off, do people still carry wallets like that?
I don't know.
And no, I don't want
to.
I still use
that joke. In fact, it's probably really, it's just not applicable anymore because people don't understand it. But like, if I'll take a picture of someone, then say the statement of like, you know, or I see someone taking a picture. In fact, I literally walked up on like two 22-year-olds that are dating at college. They're in college and they are, at our church. And I walked up onto them in the parking lot after a service recently. And someone was taking a photo of them. And I said, I want a wallet size of that. And I literally thought to myself as I got in the truck, they have no idea what I'm talking about.
That was like me the other day trying to explain to my children what a VHS was.
Yeah, good luck.
I mean, DVD to them is even almost foreign.
Sure.
And so trying to go back even further and say, you know, we had to like actually hit the forward button to forward it through or rewind it and it was not making any sense to them whatsoever.
Yeah, I was having a discussion with one of our elders and we were talking about how we're going to be producing an album.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we're making a CD. And I was like, no, we're producing an album because we're not probably going to give CDs away because no one actually buys the physical copy anymore.
No.
It's just no
reason to do that.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, before the break, we continue to talk today about, our perspective on, the president and not so much our president.
We were getting ready
president.
To endorse, I believe.
That is not
the way we ended that last
that
segment.
That is not true. And again, when I say our perspective on the president, we're talking about the role of the president.
Right,
we're talking about our responsibility and even our personal relationship
with the president,
and we don't mean that, of course, as if President Trump is calling us. We're talking about how.
But if you're listening,
call us.
I have a lot to say.
That'd be great. You've got a red phone. I've got a
black
iPhone.
Phone.
You know, you know, we were talking about as we begin to look towards our voting selection, when we said to establish certain priorities for you. Where do you think faith needs to play a part in this as we think about what our priorities are?
Well, it's interesting. You hear a lot of people say a lot of things when it comes to your faith and politics. You hear separation of church and state, which, you know, for a show for another day, that's not even in the it's not in the Constitution anywhere. It was in a letter. But that was mainly saying, look, we don't need the government kind of being a religious organization, you know, telling people how to believe. But But if you're a Christian, you are so, you're a Christian in the voting booth and out of the voting booth. You don't divorce yourself from your faith
right.
when you walk into that voting booth, when you're engaging in society and in culture and in politics. And so it does, it shape, if you've been transformed, if you're saved and God has transformed your life, you were dead and now you are alive, that's going to change your marriage. It's going to change your the way you father. It's going to change the way you mother. It's going to change your relationships. It changes everything.
Right.
That doesn't mean that Jesus is a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't mean that. What that means is
he was an independent.
For sure. And what that means is our faith certainly is involved in our decisions and our the way we look at things.
Right.
It has to be.
Yeah, and I think about it in this way. You know, ultimately, we have to consider where is our allegiance and to what kingdom? Is it to the kingdom of God or is it to any kingdom on earth? And so if I have the ability to do anything that might shape humanity, you know, the humanity as a whole in a way that is more honoring to the kingdom of God and that speaks towards an allegiance towards a bigger kingdom, then I think it does start to say, all right, these certain things might be more important to me than others. And it is not to minimize the idea. It's not to minimize other issues. I think it's probably to elevate other issues. Listen, I enjoy a flourishing economy as much as anyone.
Yeah.
And you know, my wife is a real estate agent. And so, or you know, she's a realtor. And so when the economy flourishes, people buy and sell houses. And so I appreciate that as much as anyone. I appreciate as much as anyone that, hey, my 401k is doing pretty good. I enjoy all of these things, but I have to say, is the economy my primary issue? For me, as you mentioned, you know, there are certain issues related to, the value of life. There are certain issues related to, family dynamics. There are certain issues that I am going to really, really value. But I think we just have to do that in a way that is also tactful. I think we have to do that in a way that isn't blind to other issues. And I think we also have to do that in a way that recognizes that a whole bunch of other people don't have an allegiance to this God that we do, and they don't have an allegiance to a larger kingdom. And so we can't necessarily expect, you don't expect non-believers to act like believers. And so we just have to always keep this in mind as we interact with folks that have varying political opinions than we do.
Yeah, and I would caution you too, and this is coming from somebody that, I mean, I struggled with this my early 20s to probably, you know, late 20s of caring more about the way people voted than their soul. And so when you get so wrapped up, and a lot of people hearing this are going, that doesn't make any sense to me. You know, politics don't mean that, it doesn't mean that much to me. But there are some folks listening to this that feel the tendency. Their blood pressure gets up when they hear a certain candidate talk. They get angry. They get bitter. I was just having a conversation with my dad this morning and he was like, I was yelling at the TV. I was like, okay, that's a problem. And so those are, so recognizing, okay, when it becomes idolatry.
Right.
And when it kind of over, it takes over our, it becomes our religion. And so for me, there was a time in my life where I would have conversations with people and immediately put them in a camp where they believe politically. I could talk with them about certain issues. I would bring up certain things and I would know immediately where they stood on these issues, probably the way they voted. And then I would immediately in my mind go, okay, I need to get them to change the way they vote. Not, what does this mean about their faith? What does this even mean about their background? Why did they end up here? I didn't care about that. I just cared about getting that vote.
Right.
And what it did for me is it became idolatry and it became a problem. And the Lord took me from that. When I worked in politics, that was like, you know, that's what all I wanted to do. And the Lord did some working in our lives to move us to Knoxville and pull me from it. And I needed that.
Well, I think what you said is, you know, you kind of have to consider how much energy you're putting into something. And so some person might say, well, I mean, I'm not putting any energy into it. I simply just went to the, you know, I went to the election site or voting site and cast my vote, and that was it. And for some, that is the case. But I think in many people's situation, there's a ton of emotional energy that's been put into mm-hmm. it. As you said, there gets into banter back and forth on Facebook, or there becomes division among friends and family members and all this other stuff. And we often put all of this energy into really, and I don't want to minimize our vote. In fact, I, at the sure. very beginning of the show said, you know, our vote counts and you need you to rock vote. The vote, that's you right. know, whatever it may be.
P.
But,
Diddy. P.
Yes,
Diddy.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think we also have to consider, like, are we investing more energy into how we think we're going to shape our country with one vote, or how we might actually shape humanity yeah. with our life? And I have to be mindful of that. I spend a lot of time thinking about how I'm going to vote, but am I thinking also about, like, how I'm going to live tomorrow?
Yeah.
How am I going to be a parent today? How am I going to? And again, I'm not trying to minimize things. What I'm trying to do is elevate these things, and we have to really ask ourselves: have we spent more time considering the political cycle as we are about, you know, what kind of spouse we are,
yeah.
and which one's going to actually be more impactful in the long term, you know, how we ended up voting or what our opinions were on something, as opposed to how we actually responded to yeah. our spouse when there was a hard moment, you know,
yeah.
or were we patient? Were we kind? Were we loving? Were we merciful? I mean, all these things that, you know, that's a question for us.
Well, or how we loved our neighbor, how we, interacted with the people that live next to us, the people at the store, or you know, coworkers. And so the reality is there are some folks, especially this last election cycle, that friendships ended.
Man, churches split,
family members, they stopped going to holidays together. I was talking with the pastor back during that election cycle, and I was explaining to him even my family dynamic.
Yeah.
And kind of extended family dynamic and friendships. And he looked at me and he was like, hold on, like, people aren't talking to each other. I was like, no, like, this is a reality. Mm-hmm. This isn't, and that becomes idolatry. Like, when we went to the vet yesterday with our dog, I wasn't going around saying, hold on, how do you vote before you help us?
Yeah.
No, we were all there together, crying together, being together. And so there's something to that in humanity, that we have allowed kind of the politics to muddy things up, when what we really need to do is just love people better. Also vote, but understand that we can make much more of a difference by loving well and being the Christian we've been called to be in our neighborhoods.
Yep, it's good stuff. We'll be back.
I think it's awesome that you've talked about Shoreline doing an album and we got the first cut right
wow.
here.
Wow.
That's awesome, man. Chuck's really doing great with his falsetto with that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that one was not us, I'm afraid. Wow.
So another great show in the books. We were texting last night.
Yeah, at the end of that last segment, I said good stuff. I don't know if that's actually accurate.
Great stuff.
But yeah, great stuff.
I think last night we were texting, and we were kind of figuring out what we're going to talk about. And what did I say? Either way, we'll do great.
And I responded with the ha-ha.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's probably not true.
Yeah, so I'm very optimistic when I think about our show and our talents.
So as people continue to go towards this election season, you know, our encouragement to you, again, we always try to have some type of redeeming thought for you. You know, one, just keep it in perspective. You know,
yeah.
by all means, be as educated and as informed as you desire. I would encourage you to at least be informed enough to be able to make an informed,
sure.
you know, decision when it comes to voting. Be mindful that our country is not exclusively in the hands of any one political leader,
yeah.
Nor is our world. And so we're going to trust the sovereignty of God. We're going to take our responsibility in the midst of it seriously. I would encourage, again, that we don't allow political divides to become more than that, that we don't allow them to become just human divides and relational divides. And if we can have people that we disagree with on many issues, and some of these issues that we've talked about, even life, the issue of life, I mean, it can be hard to be amicable with folks that are so
yeah.
opinionated against this. And yet the only way that I really believe that we're going to see conversion for those is going to be that we would love them. And again, doesn't mean that we sit back on our hands. It doesn't mean that we just concede. but we always act and we always respond in a way that seems to be honoring to the Lord.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it's hard, but that's what Scripture calls us to do.
Yeah.
And society should look at our lifestyle and say, yeah, I may not agree with what they're doing and what they believe, but man, yeah, they love their neighborhood. They're kind.
Yeah.
And that's not always easy. I mean, certainly not. And so we're not saying that we have it all figured out and no, all of our relationships are perfect. That's certainly not true. But it's something that we need to keep in our mind. And I would just encourage anybody that's listening to this that feels that bent to, any opportunity you get, you're turning on cable news. Any opportunity you get, you're looking for a headline. I would just caution you. And that's coming from someone like a recovering person dealing with that, because it can drag you back in quickly.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, that's all you want to talk about. That's all you want to focus on. And it's a dangerous place to be.
Yep.
I'm not saying don't engage with it. I'm just saying understand when it gets to a level of, it becomes more important than the other things in your life, then it becomes a problem.
In our very first segment, we talked about potentially going out to dinner or having dinner with a president, two or three, four, that we would just enjoy spending some time with. Who was one of yours again?
We had John Adams.
Okay, so let's go with John Adams. What do you think John Adams would order at dinner?
Wow. Probably, depending on how old he was at the time. If he was a president, his teeth were probably in pretty good shape. They didn't have great dental work then.
No.
I would say he would probably order a steak.
Nice.
He was a little up class.
Reagan,
high class.
What's Reagan coming
I think Reagan would sit down with me and have nuggets and fries. I think he'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what about, let's see. You had Lincoln. Abe Lincoln. What do you think? What do you think Lincoln would want?
I see Lincoln as a breakfast for dinner kind of guy.
Mm.
Not really.
He would probably. I see Lincoln getting some scrambled eggs in his beard.
Eggs and bacon. No, I'm not really sure. Maybe a pork chop. It feels like a pork chop.
Yeah.
And he kind of has at times even, you know, kind of has a
nice
pork chop
beard
and type stuff, you know, and stuff. Yep. And so, yeah, I'm going to go with a pork chop.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And he probably, you could ask
what
him
so
many.
What would you order? Okay, so here's the
hard
question.
Part. Yeah.
If you're sitting down with any president, what's going to be your choice?
There's so many things that would go into that, because I want them to think that I'm classy,
strong,
and a grown person.
Right.
And not like, oh, he got chicken fingers and fries.
Yeah,
that's sweet.
Yeah.
I would, if I sat down with them, I would get a steak, a baked potato, and a sweet tea.
That's good.
That's what I would
you
get.
You kind of gave a nod to the Southern culture.
Yep, that's what I would get.
Steak.
What would you order?
I would absolutely go,
Would you say, President Lincoln, I'm gluten free.
I would 100% go with some skinny girl dressing. No. I'd probably do the same thing. I'd probably do a steak. I might go with some like fries actually with the steak.
What do you think
go all America Coke.
There you go.
Just a Coca-Cola classic.
What do you think all of those guys, we'll end with this. All of those guys from way back, what do you think they would think about, all the coffee options we have today versus what they probably used to do?
They would not be proud of our country.
I don't think they would either.
Black only for those guys.
Yeah. We'll be back next week.